personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Unsportsmanlike conduct podcast.
Get it right, you Muppet.
Yeah, the draft came and went, Dal. Your favorite episode was last week. Where would you rank this one? What is the post-draft, Dal Erickson?
Oh, they're all pretty much the same.
Honestly,
I would love to just BS about the draft last week. We just could have kept going. That's the fun part, is you can just kind of talk and it doesn't have to mean anything. Just enjoying football. This week's all about the analysis of what happened, and everybody's trying to... The dumbest thing on the planet is draft grades this week.
Yes.
just as a reminder, someone posted Patrick Mahomes' post-draft grade. Just to kind of... From 2018 or whatever it was.
17. Yeah.
And he was given... that pick was given a C-. And it's like, Mahomes may never be ready to start in the NFL. He has too many, basically said he has too many things to work on. He's a huge project. Anyway, I don't know who wrote that.
Well, Andy Reid is evidently very good with projects.
Probably, yeah, I would agree with that. But at the same time, these grades don't mean anything. I mean,
not a thing.
There was 31 people drafted in the first round. There will be a handful of them that will be busts. They will not stay in the league more than 2 years. They'll be gone. And an entire industry, the scouting industry of the NFL, deemed them worthy of a first-round pick. So it really is, I mean, you can try your best, but it really is kind of swing and a miss a lot of times with these guys. So, yeah, that's why I hate the week after. It hadn't even been a week, you know, Ooh, here's the draft grade. Oh, you guys should have done better. It's like, you have no idea. You have no idea what we should have done.
That's why some of my favorites are scrolling through Twitter afterwards. And you know those fans that are real upset that your team took a guy that wasn't ranked on, like, the ESPN app at that spot where they're like, come on, there was the guy ranked 86 still left when we picked at 101. And we took a guy that the app has ranked at 132.
Morons.
All right,
just fans for you.
32 NFL teams filled with a general manager, an assistant general manager, an entire scouting department, a head of scouting, and all 32 of them pass on a certain guy so many times. But remember that Mel Kiper is smarter than each and every single one of them.
And that's, and you know what? That's not to say that they aren't wrong. There's undrafted people in the Hall of Fame. There's undrafted people starting in the NFL every year.
I know, but the sheer emphasis that so many fans place on where websites will rank these players when their team does or doesn't.
here's a prime example. Some Washington fans, and I don't know if they're any worse than anybody else, they seem worse on Twitter anyway. Just because of the whining. And I'm just like, you would have thought we would have, you know, forced out the whiners over the last quarter century of Redskins football team commander's ball. I don't even follow him, but because I follow so many Washington things, he's kept showing up on my feed. He writes for some Washington blog, whatever. And he is like legitimately like, just everything is so smug. It's like, Like he knows what's going on and nobody else does. And it's like, so we swing for the fences and get Eric Bieniemy, and then we don't pick a skill position guy till the sixth round. That's why this team's horrible. Blah, 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 blah.
Maybe.
Really?
We don't know.
Maybe it's because they've been loading up on offensive talent the last couple drafts. They're ready to perform. You needed some line help and some secondary help. I'm actually really pleased with the Commanders draft this year. I thought they did great.
Yeah, you also stuck with the rule, Dal. My father's rule that, I mean, let's face it, a lot of successful teams do use this model, by the way. My dad says it is a joke, but it's a real thing. Fat guys win football games.
Well,
you picked up two on the offensive line, two on the defensive line, so you doubled up on the rule.
And that doesn't
you
even
got twice
count.
As many.
That didn't even count on drafted free agents.
No.
So, I mean, sometimes those guys sneak through and make the team. In fact, I look at Wyoming. Wyoming has a strong tradition right now of Craig Bohl, that's their head coach, mm-hmm. Craig Bohl coached players getting overlooked in the draft, and then 2 years later, they're starting for an NFL team. I can name off several guys like Andrew Wingard and Mike Purcell and Tyler Hall. There's a bunch of those guys that played at Wyoming that are starting in the NFL.
And I know this means nothing. It's just I have a Bears into the conversation because he never started for our team. But how about the nice little mini? And he's still going. Now he's on the Bills, right? Tanner Gentry?
Oh, no, he's in the CFL now.
Okay, but
yeah, Tanner Gentry
carved out a nice 7-year NFL career as a practice squad guy. Five of those were with Chicago as an undrafted free agent, and we in Chicago nicknamed him the preseason legend because every year, it was like 3 out of the 5 years he was in Chicago, he ended the preseason as the entire NFL's preseason receiving yards leader.
Well, and this goes to show you how competitive, because Tanner Gentry was a stud. He was Josh Allen's favorite target in Laramie. He made catches and put up numbers that we only wish we had. Again, we haven't had anybody come close to that since he graduated, you know, five, whatever years ago. And it's just, yeah, I don't like these people that are like, they didn't conform to what I think they should have done. Therefore they suck.
Yeah.
And I look at the Washington draft, for example. You drafted two guys in the first two rounds in the defensive secondary, which is probably good considering the other three teams in your division have paid their quarterbacks.
Including you you stole Illinois' nickel corner.
Yeah.
Who at one point was until they started calling that safety from Alabama a nickel.
Yeah.
When he got taken by Detroit. And I don't know. He never played nickel at any point at Alabama. And they're just, well, he's got really quick hips. And so he could play.
Nobody's going to check.
But anyhow,
Aaron Feeley will check.
Yeah, that Illinois nickel corner you stole from the University.
Not only
of
that,
Illinois,
in the if you look at the undrafted free agent signed by Washington, there's another Illinois defensive back in there.
That's all four of them.
So basically,
lost to the draft.
Yeah, so all of them went somewhere.
But he was the Pro Football Focus highest grade of any nickel corner in college football last year. I think he slid to round 2.
Yeah,
to Washington.
Yeah, they picked him up as a safety.
I don't know what keeps happening on draft day where certain apps and certain broadcasts will just call players stuff.
I don't worry about it too much, but the draft is fun. Aaron, I think I already know the answer to this, but if I was going to ask you who you think the steal of the draft was, I think I already know who you're going to say here. I'm assuming you're going to say Michael Mayer.
Oh,
going to the Raiders.
Absolutely. Duke's Las Vegas Raiders getting Michael Mayer down there in round 2, I want to say.
Yeah, it was early in the second round.
And I was so terrified Detroit was going to take him. And then they pulled the Lions.
Here's the interesting thing. So the connection, our friend Duke that we work with, he's a Utah fan. And so the Utah Utes actually had Dalton Kincaid, who was the first tight end selected. And he went to the Bills, where Josh Allen is playing. See all the little connections we have?
Yes.
This was thrown out there. This was not me. This was not me that said this. This was something that an analyst said. They said, this is great for Josh Allen. Now he has his own Travis Kelce. And I thought, wow, that is huge praise for a guy that has not even put on NFL pads yet. But if he could be anything like Kelce,
I would say
the Bills are going to be incredibly dangerous.
The comparison in style is obviously, I think, what they were mostly going for, and you can see it easily. Kincaid, essentially, if they want to, and you brought it up because you like Dawson Knox.
I do. I like him a lot.
The reason I always had Mayer ahead of Kincaid, and I think he still is I think Mayer's a better run-after-catch guy. And as blockers, it's not even close. It's literally not even close. However, here's the thing. Kincaid, 238 pounds as a tight end and fast. I think he ran in the 4.5s for his 40.
Okay.
If the Bills don't want to, they don't have to make him put his hand in the dirt. He could easily just line out there the slot. He's as good as a wide receiver out there.
Well, and that's kind of what I think they're going to do. I think he maybe doesn't block as quite as well as well, and of course he doesn't, because you know you're comparing a rookie to a guy that's been in the league for several years. He's not going to block as well as Dawson Knox, but you know I love Washington won some championships with a lot of two tight end sets and things like that, and doing things with the H-back as Joe Gibbs pioneered. So, you know, go for it. I don't know. That being said, I think my biggest surprise, I still think the biggest surprise to me came really early, and that Anthony Richardson went number four to the Colts.
Could say the biggest steal of this draft, if he becomes what they're hoping he will,
is Will Levis.
Is Will Levis dropping out of the first round and Tennessee went,
Here's the thing, though.
Well, thank you.
all of the hype regarding Will Levis came from the pre-draft process. They just went, oh, he's big, he's strong, he played in the SEC, he has a great completion percentage, he has a great touchdown to interception percentage, and he did it at the SEC, therefore he must be a good there was a lot. I'm just saying, at the end of the college football season, people weren't going, holy crap, Will Levis.
Well, the main reason for that was because of his rough final season. If you go back to the year before his 2021 season,
okay,
everyone can sit. The consensus was, oh, he's one of the top five quarterbacks in college football.
So you're saying it's sort of like Sam Howell with the Commanders.
Yes,
he would have been a first round pick his junior year, decided to come back. He ends up being a fifth-round pick, and in fact, he was listed as a first-round draft pick for Washington the year before. Mm-hmm. He ends up being a fifth-round pick. Now he's going to start for him, at least, you know, week one, it looks like that's what's going
to
happen.
And Levis obviously had the comparisons stylistically to the Matt Staffords and the Ben Roethlisbergers.
Well, he's that prototypical NFL size everybody wants.
Yes, and everybody he can wants throw the ball it. About 90 yards from his knees, and sometimes
Which,
teams
again,
fall in love with that.
They do. I remember they did that with Jamarcus Russell, and people just went, oh! They were waving themselves as little paper fans and clutching their pearls, and they didn't know what to do. And it's like, that's a gimmick. Go join the circus if you're going to do a gimmick. Well, I want someone that can complete the pass on third and long from one hash mark to the far hash mark without the other guy picking it off and running it the other way.
And here's the thing. It's not like I don't understand why a team says, well, this guy can throw the ball literally the entire field. Like, all right, well, that's a benefit if he's a good quarterback.
So could David Klingler.
Yeah, Jamarcus Russell at LSU put up unbelievable numbers, so you can kind of still see why the Raiders... It's not like we're going to look back and say, everyone on the planet knew he was a bust. Why'd the Raiders do that? Like
Jeff George had one of the strongest arms in the history of the league.
Sometimes you can't always tell when a guy is going to turn out to
know.
Be stupid.
And I'm not even saying he's stupid. But anyway, that's Will Levis. And so... Honestly, if he doesn't pan out, I totally see it.
Because, and yet, if he doesn't pan out...
But if he does pan out, I totally see it.
If he doesn't pan out, whoopsie daisies, it was a second round pick. You didn't even waste
still
a
second round. I mean, that's still
not
a high
ideal,
pick.
It's not ideal, but you can bust on those and it only be a little disappointing.
See,
lot less than if your first round... If Anthony Richardson doesn't pan out, the Colts are in a hole.
Which is your... And that's where I wanted to go, because I said I know what his athletic measurables were. I saw it. I saw the pro day. I saw this stuff. Everybody was bringing up week one against Utah. Utah was ranked. They came into the swamp and lost. And Richardson played basically just a phenomenal game. But I really do think Richardson is an example of people seeing what they want to see instead of what's there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is the Malik Monk of this year's the quarterback the Titans took last year from Liberty.
Malik Willis.
Sorry, I got my names mixed up. He's the Malik Willis of this year's draft. Somebody who is off the charts athletic, someone who makes amazing plays, and then you put him in an NFL game, and it's like, no. And you don't know that until he's there. And you know what? He may totally prove me wrong.
I was about to say, even that's sometimes unfair because sometimes we make these decisions. And then look what Geno Smith did. Now, that is a massive...
That's an extreme example.
Massive, extreme exception. But sometimes, I mean, people are already talking about Trey Lance is a bust. He started 5 games.
Yeah.
Have they been good games? Not really, but it's only been 5.
But here's the thing. If you can't even get on the field...
Yeah.
That's a huge red flag. You're not drafting these guys that high to come in and go, oh, they don't look like they belong. Now, at least Malik Willis was a third-round pick, I believe, last year.
It was a rough year for quarterbacks.
So at least there was that. You know, at least they didn't pull a Zach Wilson or whatever his name is. See, I'm already forgetting his name. It's awesome. Number 2 overall. I knew he was going to suck. But I look at Richardson and... The comparison is Josh Allen. The comparison is he put up kind of average numbers, mediocre type numbers in college, but he showed these flashes.
Although Josh Allen put up some pretty decent passing numbers at Wyoming.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Now, the difference being that they went, well, that was more the Trey Lance and the Carson Wentz situation where they went, of course, he put up great numbers. He was in the Mountain West. He wasn't in the SEC or Big Ten. And then and there's another one. People are already talking about Trey Lance. I'll throw him away. Josh Allen's rookie year was nothing to write home about. He comes to Buffalo, and he looked like a rookie who was from the Mountain West playing NFL defenses.
And, basically he made up for it by running for almost 1,000 yards.
Yeah, and he said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And then, you know, he developed and became Josh Allen.
And I think that's also a big part of this with Richardson. Who is going to be working with Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis? Josh Allen had Brian Daboll. He had some of these guys that, and you know, and he also had a work ethic that benefited him to want to improve. He, you know, it's like he could see that, okay, I got to throw this away, relearn how to do this and get better at it if I want to hit the next level.
Here's another.
Does Anthony Richardson have that?
We'll find out. Here's another thing too that I think people look at it the wrong way sometimes when they talk about bringing in a true, reliable wide receiver. And they think of it like, oh, well, the wide receiver just carries the quarterback. That's why his numbers improve. Like Josh Allen was still throwing up ducks, and Stephon Diggs was just personally sprinting 80 yards. Here's what it does, though, for a quarterback, and the Colts may need to go find themselves one of these. And Alec Pierce is fine, but he's not Stephon Diggs. He's not A.J. Brown. You can actively see sometimes that quarterbacks gain confidence when they're not worried about throwing the ball to guys, that it's going to bounce off their hands right to safeties. That happens one or two times to a young quarterback. They start to play a little scared, and it can affect their mechanics. You bring in a Stephon Diggs for Josh Allen and say, all right, Josh, we know you can throw the football. Now, if you throw it at Diggs, it's third down, you're in a pinch. You know what? He's double covered. Give it to him anyway.
Well,
it helps mentally.
Sure, it does. And I also think you're going to see that. I can tell you who the Colts would love to have join Anthony Richardson. It's next year. It's Marvin.
Harrison Jr.
Marvin Harrison. Thank you, Marvin Harrison Jr. Who scouts? He would have been.
What? Why?
Would have gone
why?
This
does he
year
have any Colt connections to speak of?
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, plus he's bigger. He's like a bigger, better version of his dad, who should be in the Hall of Fame here real soon. I think you're right to that degree, but I also think that was a big reach at number 4. And it's either going to pay off like Josh Allen did with the Bills, or it is going to be a holy crap. We just had 3 in a row of Carson Wentz, Matty Ice, Anthony Richardson.
You know
it's going to be one of those two.
You know what my favorite line I've heard from fans coming out of the draft? And again, this is because you're a Washington fan. I'm a Bears fan. Most of our Twitter interactions with fans are of our own fan base. This is my absolute favorite, though. Well, you know, Darnell Wright was projected to go between 14 and 20. So we could have traded back into the teens and still gotten Wright. Why did we only trade back one spot? Why did we take him at 10? You know why? Mr. Fan, whose highest level of GM experience was playing Madden that one time, it's because we weren't picking at 16. There's no, I mean, people are just under this assumption that we just could have.
Yeah.
Like, just like we were just going to tell the Tennessee Titans that we're trading now. Like, no.
Let's switch and you give me this extra pick.
I don't, like, that's not how it works. We were picking at 10. Poles wanted Wright because he was the best right tackle in the draft.
For whatever reason,
you take that guy.
People have really started to like draft day with Kevin Costner. They have really latched on. I was shocked. When that movie came out, nobody was really in love with it. I mean, it's fine. It's even fun.
I
but it's absolutely the same guy who gets fleeced does not get his picks back and does the fleecing. That never, ever, ever happens. So Kevin Costner gets fleeced, loses his picks, and then by the end of the movie, he's Mr. Genius. He works it all out and sees what nobody else sees and has all his picks and still gets the guy he wants. Yeah, that's movie bullcrap. What really happened is he got fleeced. He screws up the draft, and about week two, he gets fired. Mainly because wasn't he sleeping with his head of accounting in that movie, Jennifer Garner?
I don't totally remember. The only time I watched it was was on a bus ride up to Michigan.
It's just funny. In the movie, they try and make it kind of sweet. If that was happening in real life, you found out that the GM was having a relationship with the head of... Yeah, that doesn't work. That doesn't work in the real life. You don't get to do that.
So we'll break down maybe some stuff that some of our local listeners will care about here. I'm looking at the Denver Broncos. And here's one I actually really, really like. Drew Sanders was projected to be one of the top two inside linebackers in this whole draft. There was a debate whether it was going to be him or Campbell. And Jack Campbell goes in the first round to Detroit at 18. So you had to think to yourself, well, then Sanders won't be far behind. But then no one else takes a middle linebacker until round three. Denver ends up with the second best middle linebacker, presumably, in this draft, and Drew Sanders out of Arkansas. Not half bad. They also got Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma. The only problem is they only had 5 draft picks. But we do now know the full return, by the way, on the Russell Wilson trade. Seattle has officially used every one of those draft picks. One of them was on Devin Witherspoon, another Illini that departed Champaign through the draft this year.
I'm interested in, obviously we talked about our footprint, where we are, Western Wyoming, Northern Utah, Eastern Idaho, the Mountain West, that region. Obviously Dalton Kincaid was the highest picked of any of those teams, went 26th overall to the Bills. Utah, as per normal, did have several players drafted, also had, let me look this here, Clark Phillips III. He's a cornerback. He went in the 4th round to the Falcons, and they also had a guard go just 5 picks after that to my Commies, to my Commanders, Braden Daniels. So there's 3 players. A couple of BYU players drafted, 1 or 3 of them. Blake Freeland went in the 4th round. I thought he was going to go higher. Based on going to last season, I thought he was like a top 3 round pick, which maybe he is, and he just happened to go in the 4th. But really tough offensive lineman. He went to the Colts. And then later on in the draft, Jaren Hall, the quarterback for the Cougars, he goes to the Vikings, which is a very interesting thing to me because the Vikings, I don't think, picked another quarterback. And I think given the future of what might happen there, I think he's in a good spot with Kirk Cousins there. Whether he's there a year, whether he's there for 3 more, I don't know.
Kirk Cousins feels like the most BYU person that has ever not
his dad was a preacher, and from the stories I've read, yeah, he is about as straight-laced as they
come.
That
is the whitest human being that has ever existed on the... Have you seen the tweet, by the way, from when the Minneapolis riots were going down? When Dalvin Cook personally tweeted and added Kirk Cousins and said, "Kirk, I love you, buddy, but you're the whitest human being on this planet. Maybe stay out of downtown Minneapolis for a minute."
I didn't see that. But I actually think that could be a really good situation for Jaren Hall, the quarterback from BYU. Also, Puka Nacua, who is one of those guys who just kept making plays. He ended up going in the 6th as well by the Rams. I could see him making that team and playing for the Rams. So those are some guys there. Wyoming, we only had 3 seniors on our team. So obviously none of them, we didn't have a lot in the draft. Anyway, one of them did get invited to camp, Eric Aboji. He's a huge offensive lineman, 6'5", 330. He got invited to the Dolphins this week. A couple other guys who were no longer Cowboys, but with Cowboy roots. Titus Swen, who was last year's leading rusher, decided to leave the program before the bowl game, if you'll remember, and kind of some hurt feelings there. At least it seemed like there was. He signed a free agent contract with the Colts, so he's there. Got a $3,000 signing bonus. I don't know what that means. That doesn't seem like a lot to me. But the big one to me is Xavien Valade. You go back, he rushed for over 2,500 yards for the Cowboys. Graduated. He got his degree in Laramie. Did his senior, the whole senior year graduate transfer thing. Went to Arizona State, rushed for 1,300 yards. Actually led the Pac-12. And then he didn't, so he was not selected, but he signed a free agent deal worth about $2.75 million, which doesn't happen that much. Usually that's like a draft pick. I cannot remember where he went. I'm going to look that up right now. But X Valade, he was awesome for the Pokes, and he carried that running backs room for Wyoming a few years ago. They were like, we have nobody who can carry the ball. We have everybody else who's hurt except for this guy. And he basically took all the carries for about 10 games and thrived. And I think that's was a huge deal that helped him get that deal. He's signed up with the Houston Texans. This is per our friend Cody Tucker at 7220sports.com. So yeah, Houston Texans, $30,000 signing bonus. See, that sounds like a lot. And a 3-year deal worth $2.725 million as a free agent.
Nice.
So he didn't get drafted, but I'm counting X as a very pro, very positive pro, pokes in the pros kind of moment. So good job, X.
If it makes you feel any better, Dal, about your alma mater not having any draft picks this year.
Technically, I'm not an alma mater. I dropped out.
Oh, okay.
But thanks for bringing that up.
The school that you attended. I don't believe Missouri Baptist had any draft picks this year. Either.
This year. But next year, they... See, that's the thing. Wyoming had never had a top 10 draft pick until Josh Allen. And then it's like, ooh, Josh Allen.
Now you got, I can't imagine kids. We're ever getting one in the top 10, but...
I don't know. You never know. You never know who might come.
Listen, at our non-Division I classification, I'd just like to point out that at one point, I believe it was Garoppolo, had a senior year where he threw something like 63 touchdowns and zero interceptions and had won his fourth consecutive Division II national championship. Undrafted.
Well, Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner was stocking groceries and played for the Iowa Barnstormers before the Rams came calling.
That movie ended up being a lot better than I thought.
I still have not seen it.
I saw it on an airplane.
And I need to because I like that story and I like Zachary Levi. You people giving Zachary Levi crap for the Shazam. He's great as Shazam. Leave him alone.
The only issue I had with the film was I thought it was going to focus more on the 99 Rams season. It's literally the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh, really?
Are them actually talking about the NFL part of his career. Everything leading up to that is college, grocery stalker, his personal life, arena ball. They, by the way, they got an actor to play Ray Lewis, whose background before that movie wasn't acting. It was bodybuilding. And he's somehow smaller than the actual Ray Lewis.
Which is funny. He's not that big. Come on.
Ray Lewis is enormous.
He's big, but there's lots of big guys out there.
Google Ray Lewis again real quick.
All right.
He's easily the biggest linebacker I've ever personally seen.
Google.
That man was made like a square.
Ranthal.
Look at those arms. That is a large man.
He's just a man. 6'1".
Well, not tall. I said built like a square.
240. I mean, he is 240.
Buff.
He's 4 inches shorter than Josh Allen. Just saying.
I hate that the most inspirational moment of the draft, though, had to come from the Dallas Cowboys.
I know.
But did you see the video of Deuce Vaughn's dad giving him a call?
It was friggin' awesome, and I hate Dallas. I hate Jerry Jones.
You know what's arguable?
And that was, it seriously was like one of those moments where things just came together just right, and it's like, wow, what are the odds?
And you know what's almost more annoying than that they got to have that inspirational moment? Is that the player that they got was Deuce Vaughn, who I've said
he's going to be good.
I said on this show was a guy I would have targeted for the Bears as a middle to late round running back.
He's arguably the best player in college football the last 2 years.
Potentially.
You could absolutely. I'm just saying, if you wanted to go head to head with some guy in a bar and argue about it for an hour, you'd have the ammunition to do it. Mm-hmm. He was phenomenal. But if you missed it, you missed out. A really cool moment. His dad is he the head scout? Head of scouting for Dallas?
He's a scout.
Or is he a scout? I couldn't remember which one they said. Anyway, there's one video I saw. He's talking to his kid when he's got like 2 minutes to himself because it's a big day for their family anyway. He's probably going to get drafted. So he's trying to manage that. And then he goes back into the war room and he's dealing with the Dallas part of that. And then when those two things crossed... Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones hands him that little piece of paper, and the dad just loses it. And I don't blame him. Talk about all the times you went out and played catch with your kid and took him to a game and just did all these different things. And for that to be, I mean, for him to be coming to that team where you work, in that industry that you work, mm-hmm. like I said, there's about 10 million things that have to all fall into place for that to happen, and it did. It was a really cool moment.
And on top of that, some other...
And I hate Dallas.
So obviously, again, Bears fan, follow them on social media. They release those clips of them signing people and drafting people and all that. One of the ones I found interesting was Ryan Poles giving a... I believe he's the quarterback from a Division III school, an undrafted free agent call. Now, apparently there were some people that were excited about this. I don't follow much of Division III football, but
I don't either.
Yeah, they said, again, they're like, well, if you want a project player to sit behind Fields for fun, what the heck? He threw like 70 touchdowns, but also 20 interceptions as a senior last year. And they're like, I mean, yeah, he's that guy.
That's a lot.
They're like, he can throw the ball about 85 yards and he's this and that. And they're like, all his highlights are him. You know, Russell Wilsoning around the backfield and whipping the ball off his back foot for touchdowns. And they're like, yeah, he's an immaculate athlete that played Division III for a reason because he's a bit of a knucklehead. So, you know, what the heck? He'll play some preseason games.
Maybe he's just a gunslinger.
Yeah, he'll play some preseason. Maybe he's Brett Favre. I don't know.
Well,
but anyway.
Remember Walter Payton played at a little tiny school too. Jerry Rice.
Of course, we drafted Walter Payton fifth. So.
I know, but I'm just saying... You never know. Tony Romo, undrafted.
And Jackson State Rod is still Smith technically from, FCS.
Rod Smith from Denver, mm-hmm. undrafted. You don't have to look very far.
I will say, though, the guy with the best chance of making an impact from our undrafted group, it could be anyone because, again, crapshoot, and there's a reason we don't know him. We won't know him unless they end up being good. They did get a kicker. Who is a Chicago area native. Ryan Poles loves doing that, I've noticed. He loves finding the guys who went to high school around Chicago and then bringing them in.
I think that's pretty common for most of the teams. At least I've noticed that for mine. Yeah, they'll reach out, that Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, and if there's a guy that stood out. Yeah, I also see that a lot from the Wyoming standpoint. A lot of Wyoming free agents have signed at Denver over the years, and maybe they caught on, maybe they didn't, but they at least got an invite.
This guy was the Syracuse all-time leading scorer as their kicker. He went 4 of 6 from beyond 50 yards, so he seems like your standard bring him in, see if he's an NFL kicker type of kicker. We'll see. But they're talking to that quarterback, and the very funny Ryan Poles gives him a call and says, yeah, we'd like to bring you on in for a rookie mini camp. We're going to bring you on as an undrafted player, give you a shot. Our rookie mini camp will start in June, and it'll be I believe he said it'll be a $2,000 signing bonus. And the guy on the phone says, okay, I only have $200 on me, but I can get you the rest of it by the end of the month.
I've read this. This is not the first time that's happened.
Ryan Paul said, no, the signing bonus goes to you.
It's like, no, you get that. I've read that same story from a previous year, different guy. And I'll be honest, I like those guys. It's like, well, guess it's going to cut. You know, just they just roll with it. It's like, okay, guess, you know, give that a whirl. I just Washington signed a guy. I'm trying to find it here. They picked up a guy. I think he's from UCLA. Yeah, here it is. Kazmir Allen is wide receiver, returner from UCLA. This guy is fast. I am excited to see what he does. He's an undrafted free agent. I could absolutely see him making the team kind of as a last receiver / punt kick returner. And he absolutely shredded teams in the Pac-12 this last year, returning kicks. Washington had a kind of a 2-year experiment with a BYU guy that has been doing that the last 2 years. Dax Milne really didn't work out. I mean, he did fine, but he was not, he did not do anything special. I mean, I guess other than you were a 7th-round pick and you made the team for 2 years, that's fairly special. Mm-hmm. But I think this guy's going to take his job, I guess is what I'm saying. But yeah, the draft was fun. We have no idea what's going to happen.
I did have one guy, though, that I thought was funny. Because every year in the draft, right, you gotta for those rounds 4 through 7, you're not really going to know most of the players. So do you ever just, like, watch all their highlights when the team posts them, and there's one guy that just kind of stands out to you, and you're like, huh, that guy might be our late round gem if there is one. That guy's highlights look pretty good. So I had one this year. Most Bears fans really liked taking Rashawn Johnson, the running back from Texas. He was the rotational guy with Bijan Robinson.
With Robinson.
And apparently he had like 3 opportunities to transfer. Oklahoma wanted to bring him in. LSU wanted to bring him in, and he wanted to stay at Texas because he was from Texas. So good for him. Tackle breaker, very fun. He'll probably compete either to start or to rotate in with Herbert and Foreman, I'd assume, for the Bears. The guy, though, that was my personal one, because he just seems like he fits the offense the Bears are trying to build around Fields, was this guy Tyler Scott, a wide receiver from Cincinnati. He ran a 4.36 40. At the combine, 5th-round pick, he scored 22 college touchdowns. Every single one of them that was receiving, every single one of them was 20 or more yards. He never scored. Like they never like threw him a slant route from the 3.
So
or
in other words, he's not a red zone threat.
No, he's only 5'9" and 177 pounds.
Wow, that's amazing though. He's can take the lid off the joint.
But as I'm watching all his highlights, and he played at Cincinnati, and some of his highlights are against, you know, Kansas State, LSU.
Yeah,
there's some against. I mean, they played some decent. Alabama, their playoff game from 2 years ago, his sophomore year, he actually was Cincinnati's leading receiver against Bama.
So he's sort of like the poor scouts version of Zay Flowers.
What I said was, I said he reminds me of Johnny Knox. If anyone remembers him from a short stint with the Bears
and he went to the Broncos too, didn't he?
No, his career was sadly cut short. Played 5 years for the Bears, and then in a random Week 13 game, he's diving over the middle for a catch, and you know Seattle ran one of those zone blitzes where their D tackle drops into coverage. Knox was fully outstretched diving. The tackle went also to dive for the ball, hit Knox in the forehead, and pushed Knox's head all the way back until it was touched.
This.
Yeah, he ended up breaking his neck. Never played football again. He's walking again. He is fine, but he's not interested in playing professional football anymore. But yeah, he reminds me a lot of Knox. But as I'm kind of hyping him up with my friends, and I'm like, yeah, you know, that's the guy I think is my pick. I hope he rotates into the offense. And someone pulled up that the USFL draft took place back in February. And I guess the way they do it is it's just a free-for-all like the NFL draft. and they know most of the guys they pick won't come to the USFL, but if they ever do, the teams that pick them in this draft get the rights. And someone goes, I know why you like Tyler Scott. He was the USFL New Orleans Breakers first-round pick.
That is why you like him.
That's hilarious.
For those of you who have not quite picked up on it, Aaron is a junkie. I mean, I love football, but Aaron can name the rosters of the USFL teams. Sorry, I'm not doing that.
But yeah, so if Tyler Scott doesn't work out with the Bears, Dal, he can always just go down to New Orleans and play some spring ball for my other favorite football team to watch.
Moving on just a little bit, this was interesting. This came up. The transition from the draft to this. It's because football is king. I mean, every sport has is big to a point. I mean, you watch a Game 7 Stanley Cup series.
Oh, and by the way, there were some great Game 7s
this
weekend.
There was also one that sucked last night.
Oh, but I liked nothing. It.
But I'm just saying, usually that's a recipe for a heck of a fun view.
Part of the fun, at the very least, though, was it was New Jersey and New York.
Yeah, so one of them gets knocked out.
And well, I love the New Jersey Devils are my de facto second favorite.
Oh, okay.
All because they used to have a goalie that I was my favorite player. He's not on the team. Martin Brodeur has been retired for over a decade. And it doesn't matter. I see New Jersey Devils and I go, oh, I'm instinctively rooting for them.
But you think about that. I mean, the fervor and the excitement of Game 7, the NHL playoffs. Mm-hmm. You got the NBA. I mean, this next round tonight, the day that we're recording, Steph Curry and LeBron James are going to be going at it. And all of this is just a little dot compared to the NFL. More people tuned into the NFL draft. The draft, which is just a overblown version of guys reading cards.
Uh-huh.
More people, 300,000 people showed up to the draft in Kansas City. And we're talking millions, and it dwarfs. Mm-hmm. The NFL draft viewership dwarfs these other teams' postseason.
Yep.
It's just kind of, that's where football is in this country. So this just came out this morning. So Super Bowl 57 was the most watched U.S.-based telecast of all time. That was the Chiefs' victory over the Eagles on February 12th. It drew an average 115.1 million viewers across all platforms. That is roughly a third of, more than a third
of the U.S.
of
population.
The entire U.S. population.
And lest we forget that most people view the Super Bowl at someone else's house.
Right. So yeah, they really don't know. But anyway, that's kind of an amazing number to me.
Bit of a ridiculous stat there. And obviously you want to talk about record breakers. We can even discuss the fact that Warriors Kings Game 7 was the most watched round one NBA game in history. Just shattered that record. And then the game ended up being a bit of a stinker for those of us that were hoping for a bit of a change of a changing of the wind, Dal. Those of us that were hoping for a Kings victory because we've been here, we've done this with the Warriors.
And the Kings were awesome. Honestly, they did an amazing job. There were people, analysts, picking against them in that series. Like, they didn't even know if they'd win a game. And they were the third seed. So there was a lot of kind of disrespect to the Kings. I think they showed that moving forward, they're going to be a pretty salty program. That's going to be a tough team. But you're also going up against the defending champs and a guy that at any given night might go for 50, which he did. You have another guy who might go for 50. He didn't have to. I'm just saying that team is still super dangerous, even though they didn't win as many games in the regular season as they typically do.
And obviously the Nuggets were another team that they're the number one seed in the West, and everyone still kind of went, eh. They're up 2-0 on Phoenix.
Nikola Jokic is a different ball player, and he knows it is the thing. He doesn't go out there and like, oh, I'm Mr. Eth. He's like, he's like that guy that dominates the rec league, except he's doing it at the highest level of basketball. He makes shots that you would lose at horse. You would lose, and he's doing it in a game. And he makes these passes that basically are layups for his teammates. So last night, neither team broke 100 points in that Denver game. He had 39 points, mm-hmm. 16 rebounds. I can't remember how many assists. I don't remember if he had a triple-double or not, but he was close if he wasn't. He basically had half their points as this. There was a great little clip that shows this old guy, mm-hmm. like, playing against this young guy. And the young guy's, like, you know, playing defense. He's being all serious. And the old guy's, you know, hobbling out there. And he puts the ball on the ground, turns around, fakes a hook shot.
Oh, yeah.
The guy goes for it. Then he bends down, picks it up, throws the ball up, and it goes through the hoop. And they're like, this is what Nikola Jokic is doing to the Western Conference opponents right now. He's just trick-shotting everyone to death. I watched more, you know, we had Samantha Kilgore on with us a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. who is with Fox out of Denver. And she implored us, if you remember, she said, hey, you Jazz fans, you other fans, your team's out of the playoffs, give the Nuggets a chance. So I did last night. That guy's fun to watch, man. He's fun.
And, you know, speaking of guys that are fun to watch, the Miami Heat took a 1-0 lead in their series.
Jimmy.
Remember in 2016, the Bulls had Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler on the same team.
And Tom Thibodeau.
And they just couldn't do it, so they traded Rose. And then the next year, they're like, actually, you know what? Jimmy Butler, you got to trade him too. They have yet to recover from either of those
trades. They've never recovered from all the stupid things they've done. The only thing they do now is that they finish just good enough to either miss the play-in game or lose in the play-in game.
And you know what? While we're talking about Jerry Reisendorf owns the Bulls and the White Sox, he went up to a business summit just this past weekend where he talked with a bunch of other very successful businessmen. And he was the lone sports owner representative on the panel. And he gave the worst interview I've ever heard in all my life. And it tells me so much about everything I now know about the Bulls and White Sox. When he said things like, you know, honestly, when it comes to the business of pro sports, do fans want championships? Sure they do. But they will still come out and the fans will be happy if you can promise them that in the last month of the season, you can still be playing meaningful games.
He's not wrong.
Go screw yourself,
well,
Jerry.
Yeah.
Climb to the tallest building you can find and jump off. I hate you. Sell both teams and then walk into Lake Michigan.
Well, I'll give you another owner. He's not an owner anymore. Donald Sterling, who famously was pushed out as the Clippers owner for, you know, being a racist. But he was famous for making millions of dollars every year and his team finishing last because he knew how to work it. He knew how he knew how to cover his expenses, get his TV money, clear all this other stuff, and he didn't care.
And
he did not care if the Clippers were competitive. If they happened to be, so be it.
We also had So the White Sox are one of three teams in the MLB that have never signed a $100 million contract. The Pittsburgh Pirates just did it earlier this year to reduce it from four to three. We're behind the Pirates on this.
And they have no chance of...
And at one point in this summit, Jerry Reisendorf says, and you know, the struggle with pro sports and why it's different from other businesses is it's sort of in between sports and business. It's its own thing. Then goes on to say, your competitors are also your business partners, and that's kind of an awkward thing. But on top of that, at the same time, while you're sharing a lot of revenue with a lot of these guys, you're also at the mercy of your dumbest competitor. Because if someone goes out there and they pay $40 million a year for a second baseman, now, the next time your team needs a second baseman, mm-hmm. you either have to do it or you have to cut your costs. And so, you know, we have all these teams out there. They're paying $100 million for that guy, $100 million for that guy. And it's making the White Sox worse. And in my head, I think to myself, now he ends the sentence there. Why is it making the White Sox worse, Jerry? Why can't you also just say, well, darn it, now I have to pay $100 million for that guy? Why don't you just cough up your cash and get us players?
Especially since baseball is hemorrhaging TV money. They make so much money compared to what they made back when he probably started. It's not even funny.
It's not making the White Sox worse that other teams are overspending. It's you not also willing to overspend.
I'm going to have to turn you down here pretty quick. Let's move on.
Cannot die soon enough.
We have a shorter window this week.
We
need to switch over to the XFL, where your team, the Arlington Renegades, are taking on my team, the Washington Defenders, for the XFL championship.
That should be really fun. We'll probably go into some further depth next week when it's not fresh off the draft. And the championship game is next Saturday, the 13th.
Yeah.
How
much do you think tickets are? Well, now you looked.
I still can't see it. Your pole's in the way.
Say what?
Your microphone stand is in the way.
This is not one of those shows.
I refuse to edit that. I don't know. I feel like it can't be a reasonable amount. It's either going to be way less or way more than you expect if you're even bothering to ask.
I actually think it's reasonable.
Oh, okay. $200.
$35.50 each. Tickets.
$35.
$35.50. That's row. That's like puts you here. That's a lower bowl. It's in the corner, but it's a lower bowl.
See? And so that would have fallen into less than
it's in the Alamo Dome.
Yes.
This is one of those things that if it was within driving distance, I would go to this game.
It conceivably is as far as they could get from you without being in Florida.
Yeah. And I don't like to fly. Fat people in flying. I'm always concerned I'm going to get next to that guy that wants to get me on his TikTok. Look at this guy. He's trying to fit in over, and I'm got the armrest. I don't like that kind of stuff. It's like, I'll just drive. Leave me alone.
I was about to say, Dal has very little faith in other human beings at an airport.
That's totally
true. And
it's
100% justified.
Well, the last time I flew was in 2019. I went to the Arizona Bowl. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I did that was because I knew the person sitting next to me was my son. And if I wanted to glom onto him a little bit, he's skinny.
See,
I felt like I could. So
we have a little bit of that when we get on a plane, just because we're the people that have to bring a baby.
They have the baby. It's not even the baby. It's the stuff that comes with the baby. Car seat you brought. I was blown away. You brought the car. I could have taken the car seat.
Oh, then we couldn't have gotten him to the airport.
Well, then find like a bonus one.
Well, that wasn't carry on. We checked the car seat. Yeah, we didn't make someone hold that for us.
But yeah, I laugh. Sorry, I'm gonna make a couple of jokes at your expense if that's okay. But Aaron is a first time dad, which is awesome. By the way, it's fun.
Yay.
And you're an awesome dad. I can already tell you and Max are going to have a great relationship as he gets older. But you're that first time dad. You bring the car seat. You bring the stroller. You go out and get some formula when you're out at the end of the day. And I'm just like, whatever, man. I'd have fed that kid whatever I could find in the room.
So yesterday,
here's some instant coffee. Here you go, Max.
It's funny you said that. Yesterday, some of the restaurants that are local around where we live had their opening days because they're summer specific. Duke went to one of them, the big famous one up the road.
The Red Baron.
Okay, so we can just name drop them.
I don't care if we do.
All right. So I went to Cedar Creek Grill because Mackenzie and I love it.
Sticky.
That's our favorite place to eat here.
Sticky Fingers quesadillas.
Yes. So we got one of those, and Mackenzie just goes, you think they have kids' meals here? Because Max has just been picking off our plate recently. He'll be a year old at the end of the month on the 24th.
Wow.
So we order him a nugget meal, and some people from church that we knew show up. And when they saw that we had three things, they kind of looked at us and they went, what'd you get there? And I said, two quesadilla meals and a kiddie meal. And they said, you didn't order a meal for Max, did you? Sure did. We just fed him chicken nuggets and french fries.
I will also say this. We also live in a very famously stingy area. Like, when there's grand openings for things and there's a free hot dog or a burger to be had, the same people are at every one of them. I think they map out their summer. Where it's like, there's 100 days of summer. How many days can I get free food? Or can I get free stuff?
It is a shame to me, though, how my favorite restaurants that are here do, in fact, all show up during the summer months and then disappear when it snows.
That's a new thing. They used to not just show up at all, so be happy.
One of them, Cedar Creek Guild. The other one was I did that dog show last year, which we're doing again this year. They had that corn dog.
The corn dog guy is fantastic.
That deep fries them right in front of you. And they did the dessert corn dog.
That's
which actually,
America.
Which isn't a corn dog at all. It's a Milky Way on a stick that you deep fry. So just call it a deep fried Milky Way. But whatever. He sold it to me and I ate it and it was good. So he can call it whatever he wants.
That sounds like scripture. And it was good. Anyway, deep fried foods, XFL, they're kind of the same. So you've been talking a lot of trash, which you tend to do.
Have I actually?
Not really.
Or has it mostly been laughing at how we have a losing record and we're in the playoffs?
But they're playing well. And here's the thing. I already saw a meme today. It's like D.C. has a team playing for a football championship for the first time since 92. It's not the Redskins.
I didn't even think about that. So I'm an Arlington fan because, again, I picked them by uniform at the beginning of the year and also because McKenzie stole the team I picked in 2020. She got dibs before I did. I was a Seattle Dragons fan in the 2020 version.
Why did they change them from Dragons to Sea Dragons?
I don't know. They also made the uniforms worse. I liked the blue jerseys more than the orange jerseys.
Well, especially where Seattle's kind of doing something similar with their hockey team with the Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
The Kraken jerseys are tight. Those are cool.
I guess they wanted, they're like, well, we have Seahawks, we have Kraken. Let's just give ourselves an oat. Pittsburgh has the color scheme thing. We'll have an ocean monster thing.
But their version,
the Mariners.
But their version of the Sea Dragon is like, by comparison to the Kraken jerseys, they're like Puff. Yeah. Like Puff the Magic Dragon. It's like, oh, aren't we cute? No, you're not.
But Arlington is in there. And I didn't even think about this until just now. When you really think about it, it's going to be the exact same fan bases, apart from me thrown in for random reasons, playing in this XFL championship as it is for your Cowboys-Washington games.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah, and normally I'm always on your side for that one, but this particular time I'm with the Arlington fans, Dal.
Well, there is an Arlington, Texas.
Yes. That's where the Arlington Renegades play.
Yeah, I guess and you're from Arlington Heights, or you lived there.
I'm not from Arlington. That's where the Bears are moving their stadium is Arlington.
I thought you lived there.
No, I lived in Naperville.
Sorry.
Michael Jordan lives in Arlington Heights. Oh. They filmed Home Alone in Arlington Heights. Oh,
sorry. What, you're saying you're not loaded, Aaron? Okay, break this down. Obviously, the defenders are going to try and run the ball. They have the best running attack. Their defense.
Arlington is going to, in the pregame, they're all going to get together with Bibles in hand, and they're going to pray. I think that's really going to be as good as they're going to be able to do about getting something done here. And we'll see if the prayers are answered or not. Luis Perez, though, came out of absolutely no. They call him the spring football legend because he has played in every single spring league, the AAF. The original XFL.
Which is saying something, because that one lasted like 4 weeks.
Yeah, the USFL, and now the XFL. He's played. Oh, and he literally played in the one that wasn't televised, that was literally just called the Spring League, that happened
the
in 2021.
The non-televised football league.
Yeah, they just played in a hub in Florida, I think. It wasn't on TV, but it was literally just called the Spring League.
Wow.
And he played in that one. He's played in every Spring League. He comes to Arlington at the halfway point of the season. And he plays the greatest game he's ever played in the playoff game against heavily favored Houston. We'll see if he's got another one in him. But, yeah, we'll invite you over, Dal, because what the heck? It's my team versus your team. You got to come on over that Saturday. We're going to watch Arlington, Washington, and really hope that it doesn't turn into a... Now, granted, We played in the regular season the second to last week of the year. That game went to overtime.
Yeah, that was a
for
close
some
game.
Reason. I'm not sure how that happened. If we can get another one of those, we'll call it a win for the league. And
so, moving on to one final football league, the USFL, because they're in the middle of their season.
Which is actually the one I've said I prefer.
Yeah.
And you prefer the...
I prefer the XFL to this point.
The atmosphere of the XFL.
But I also thought I was going to win a shirt, and I'm not going to. That's my fault. I'm going to get myself a hat, and I'm just going to say...
Well, actually, we did make the bet, right? Your team beat McKenzie's
team. We don't have to. You guys are... they're like young, and they have a new kid. Yeah, I'm going to make you buy me stuff.
Now, I was going to say, I can't imagine it's more than like $20, but then I remembered what they're
I'm
selling
a fat
jerseys
guy.
For.
I'm a fat guy. Things they say 20, but then it's like, what size is it? Oh, it's more like 29, because it's got to fit him.
Yeah, then I remembered what they're... $189 for...
Your
jerseys aren't even good looking.
You know what? It actually makes sense that the jerseys cost that much, because if you're asking $189... for those non-NFL jerseys, you've got to have a huge set of balls, which means all you're wearing is the jersey. Because that is absolutely unconscionable. I want to know who thinks that that's acceptable.
But anyhow, because we're going to cram this into these last 9 minutes, talking about the USFL here, my Breakers finally beat Birmingham.
Here's how much
they did it.
Here's how much I've forgotten about the USFL. I was giving Aaron crap via text earlier today because Aaron thinks that they give out trophies after week three of the USFL. and I'm like, it's Orlando. Who cares? Orlando's never won anything. And then Aaron gently reminds me the Breakers are in New Orleans.
Which,
and then I'm like, oh.
So then this broke today, Dal.
I didn't even know where they were
Not
from.
Only is the USFL finally expanding to having every team will play in its own stadium next year, which I think is important. That's literally why you said you thought the XFL was more entertaining.
Neutral site is crap.
And yeah, four teams don't have a home stadium.
It's garbage.
But they we finally... So Birmingham averaged about 17,000 for home games last year, for Birmingham games. That would have made them the third highest selling in the XFL behind St. Louis and DC. And then they finally played a game at Ford Field. The Michigan Panthers played your New Jersey Generals, who are now in first place. So now not only are our two teams playing in the XFL title, the Generals and Breakers are in first place of their respective divisions in the USFL.
Just a total coincidence on my part.
they were assigned to you.
I was going to say, you might actually have some insight. I'm just like, yeah, that one has stars on it.
Yeah, why not?
I live in Star Valley. They have like five. Oh, you don't want to be the Philadelphia? No, I hate Philadelphia. I don't want to be those stars.
But that game ended up selling, they believe, because they haven't officially released the ticket sales yet, but they believe the estimate right now was 22,000.
Which I think if you're selling over 20,000 in a spring league football game, you're doing pretty well.
Well, and to be fair, St. Louis doesn't have a professional football
True.
Team anymore, and Michigan has never had a professional football team.
Oh.
You can't see it at home, but I'm smirking massively.
That
right
is
now.
A huge smirk. See if he's smirking when they win the North.
they very well might. You're talking about the Michigan Panthers, right?
I'm talking about the Lions.
Yes, I know. But yeah, so a good crowd came out to that one. Unfortunately, Michigan then lost their first game of the season.
Which is what you do. When you get a good crowd and it's better than you thought, you lose the game.
Yeah,
that's,
why not?
That's what you do.
But anyhow, that should be very fun coming up here. Not only do we have the leading receiver and rusher in the league, Dal, but you got it pulled up there. I'm very impressed with... We lost Kyle Sloter, and I got so sad. I was worried about how we were going to look. And then all the hype was around us getting Akil Glass, because he was the HBCU Player of the Year 3 years in a row. And he was the quarterback. And they're like, well, this is like the HBCU version of the Heisman. And everyone was so excited. And then we found out coming into the year, they're like, yeah, he's number two on the depth chart. And people said, what? They were like, because we all just wanted to see him, right? And they're going to start this Canadian Football League guy who's 34 years old, Bethel Thompson.
He looks like the defenseman you'd sub in for 7 minutes on a hockey line.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a huge beard.
I call him Canadian Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually really good.
And he has just been destroying this league. I said the Breakers forgot that last year we kind of thought of it as a development. Like, this is like the second chance league. You come here in your young 20s when you're trying to get back to the NFL. And the Breakers said, actually, the rest of you can play that game. We're bringing in a 34-year-old from the Canadian League with 3 Grey Cups to his name, and we're just going to destroy you all. Well, have fun with your 22-year-olds.
he still wants to, yeah. McLeod. His first name is McLeod.
Bethel Thompson.
McLeod Bethel Thompson. And if you're a Highlander fan, you have to always say McLeod of the Clan McLeod.
I also enjoyed him diving over. So there was a 3rd and 7. They were up 38-31 in the fourth quarter.
He does look like a freaking Viking. So
they needed 7 yards for a 1st and goal to keep the drive going. He gets about 5 yards, and then there's 2 Birmingham Stallions there. So guess what the 34-year-old quarterback decides to do for a spring league victory? He dives over the top of him and gets flipped over, lands on his face, and gets up and goes, 1st down.
I like it.
I love it. I mean, we all know coming in, you're like, yeah, this isn't the NFL. This is lesser football. You might as well have fun football if it's going to be lesser.
I'm with it. And if he makes plays like that, I will be a fan.
So next week, we'll go into some more depth on our XFL championship now. We'll talk a little trash on the podcast because why not?
Why not?
We got an interview to get to for our actual radio station coming up here shortly. I
encourage you to check it out. It'll be during Sports Friday at svinews.com. We're going to be talking with Cincinnati Bengals starting middle linebacker, former Wyoming Cowboy, Logan Dang Wilson.
And every
the
time,
governor.
Every time you hear the word "ja," like Joe Burrow is going to come out of my mouth during the interview, just slap me real quick.
We have to slap because we're trying to keep it to like, hey, Wyoming kids, get to the pros, kind of things like that. But all right. But
so you can catch us next week and hopefully as many weeks as we're available. We try to get them out every week on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.